Revelation chapter 20. And starting in verse 20, this is the section on the millennium, which is 1,000 years that we will reign with Christ. In fact, here's a chart. I don't know how clear this is, but we're in the church age, roughly 2,000 years long. We're waiting for the rapture. Then there is 7 years of tribulation that we've gone over. And then is the second coming of Jesus. And then there is the millennium where Christ reigns on the earth. And it is 1,000 years in length. In fact, when we read this passage 6 times, we are told that Jesus, the millennium, will be 1,000 years. Every time years are given in the book of Revelation, they're literal. They're whether it's 7 years or 2,460 days, whatever time period is given in Revelation, you can take it literal. So Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss, and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that's Satan. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until, second time this is mentioned, 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast, the Antichrist, or his image, the statue, and had not received his mark, 666, on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So they come to life and they join the church and the Old Testament saints in reigning with Christ on the earth. Verse 5, the rest of the dead did not come to life. The rest of the lost people do not come to life until 1,000 years are ended. At the end of the millennium, all the people that have died that don't know Jesus will be resurrected to go to judgment. That's next week's sermon. Verse 6, blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for the fifth time for 1,000 years. Verse 7, when, and this is the last time, when 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. In number they are like the sand on the seashore. They marched across the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of God's people, the city he loves, which is Jerusalem, which is where Christ will reign during the millennium. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them, and the devil, who deceived them, was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And that will be the end of Satan. And that is all of the anti-Trinity now in hell. Satan, the anti-father, the beast, the Antichrist, the false prophet, the anti-spirit. The whole anti-Trinity is thrown in hell where they will suffer day and night forever and ever, and that's the end of Satan. So, looking forward to that day. So, let's ask some questions about the millennium. So, who goes into the millennium? There's going to be believers, you and I, the church will be in the millennium. However, we are going to have resurrected bodies. We are not going to be marrying each other. We're not going to be having children. We're not going to die. But we will be reigning with Christ. And I'll go over that in a bit. But there will be mortal humans who go into the millennium. And that is made up of two groups. The first group is all the people that become believers, especially the Jewish people. They will go into the millennium. They will still have mortal bodies. They still will reproduce and have kids. They'll go in and their descendants into the millennium. We also believe that everyone on the earth that's 20 years or younger under the age of accountability will go into the millennium. And we get that from when the Israelites were in the wilderness and when we're going to the promised land. Remember, God said, send in the spies, check out the promised land. The spies came back, said it's beautiful to go into Israel, but we shouldn't do it. And they all voted to rebel against God. And God said, okay, I tell you what, you're going to now wander in the desert for 40 years until all of you drop dead. And do you know what age he gave? All of you will drop dead that are 20 years or older. All those who were 20 years and younger in God's mind were under the age of accountability, and he allowed them to go into the promised land 40 years later. So, those two groups go into the millennium as mortal beings. What is the purpose of the millennium? Well, there are hundreds of verses in the Old Testament that Jesus is going to reign on David's throne in Jerusalem and have an earthly kingdom. Hundreds of Old Testament verses that Jesus must fulfill. The first time that Jesus came, though Pilate said he's king of the Jews, he was not seen to the world as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, for all believers, we realize he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords in our hearts. But yet he is not in the world at this point. During the tribulation, he'll become King of Kings and Lord of Lords over heaven when Satan and the evil angels get thrown out. And then at the second coming, when he comes back and sets up his throne in Jerusalem, finally, all the prophecies will be true that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The millennium answers this prayer that the church has been praying for 2,000 years. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We've been praying. Jesus talks a lot about his kingdom that will come through the Gospels. We've been praying for his kingdom to come on the earth, okay? And so that will answer that prayer. This is the millennial, a model of the millennial temple in the book of Ezekiel. We don't have time, but if you look at all the last chapters of the book of Ezekiel, it tells you the description of what the temple will be like when it is built during the millennium, that Christ is going to reign for 1,000 years in that millennium. Now, another reason for the millennium, for that 1,000 years, is because God is vastly going to increase the number of believers. You see, God is an eternal Father. He always was a Father. He has a heart as a Father. And this whole reason for creation and making men and women with free will is he was looking to expand his family. There's something about fathers that want children. There's something about women that would like to have children. So God's like, I want to increase my family. And during the millennium, the population on the earth will dramatically increase. And people will be able to, you know, really get to know the Lord. So let me show you, I need an Old Testament for a second. Turn to Isaiah chapter 2 for a moment. Isaiah 2 verse 1. This is what Isaiah son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, this is during the millennium, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established. That will be Jerusalem. At the highest of the mountains, it will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge, this is Jesus, he will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. So there will be no wars during the millennium. You won't need a gun. The Second Amendment will not matter in the millennium. You will convert your gun into a shovel, okay? Come to Isaiah 65. And I want to start in verse 20. Verse 19. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be an infant who lives but a few days. We will not need children's hospital during the millennium. Or an old man who does not live out his years. The one who dies at 100 will be thought a mere child. So during the millennium, we'll have those long lifespans that we had before the days of Noah. And if you die at 100 years old, well, when we have your funeral, we're going to go, oh, just a child, only lived 100, as opposed to the normal 700. Okay. So you'll live long. He who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. There will be no repossessions. You will not have to rent. They will plant vineyards and eat of their fruit. We're all going to be farmers. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. The curse on working. We'll love working. We will not have the sweat of the brow, the stress. We won't labor in vain, nor will they bear children doomed to misfortune. Our kids will be blessed, and for the people, for they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. And dust will be the serpent's food. All right, I'm going to end there. So there's all kinds of verses. That kids will be able to play with snakes. A little baby can put his hand right in the cobra's nest and won't bite and will not harm. It's an amazing time period during the millennium of prosperity, and hopefully thousands and millions of people will give their heart to Jesus. What happens to Satan during the time of the millennium? So in the very first verses, you'll see that an angel comes with a chain and a key to the abyss, opens up the abysses in the earth, different from the lake of burning sulfur, opens up that abyss and puts, here's a picture of the dragon chained and in the abyss for how long? 1,000 years. So Satan is bound for 1,000 years. There are four names given to him in those verses. You'll see he's called the dragon, the ancient serpent that tempted Adam and Eve, Satan, and the devil. Temptation, right now, Satan and the demons can tempt us to do evil and to do wrong. But during the millennium, Satan is bound, so people will not experience, will still have temptation, but it will be at a much lower intensity than when Satan is freely tempting each of us. So temptation level drops dramatically. So I'll just share with you, this is a Toomey theory. Some of this, but it's based on solid biblical evidence. I believe that you cannot lead a person to Jesus Christ, leading them from spiritual death to spiritual life, unless you have the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. That's why Jesus told his disciples, wait into Jerusalem. Don't go out witnessing yet. Wait at Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes on you, and then you will have the power to be my witnesses in the world, okay? And so they had to wait until they were empowered by the Holy Spirit, because it's the power of the Holy Spirit that enables you to take a person who is spiritually dead, lost, bound to Satan in the dark kingdom, and to bring them to life, to eternal life. Does everyone follow that? In the same way that the Holy Spirit brings people from death to life, Satan empowers people to bring people from life to death, called temptation. And that is why the Bible warns you to be very careful when you get angry. For when you get angry and you allow that anger to go through the night, you give who a step foot in your life? You give the devil a step hold in your life. And so you're angry at someone, and you let that anger go through the night. Satan comes and says, you need to express that anger. May I recommend that you shoot your spouse? May I recommend you shoot your boss? I have a good suggestion for you. You're mad at the world. Why don't you get an apartment in Las Vegas and take out as many people as you can? I've got another suggestion for you. You're obviously mad. You've been mad as a kid. I've empowered you to be brutal to animals, but you got a raw deal. I suggest you go to that church where your in-laws go and shoot as many people as you can. That's being empowered by the devil to do horrific acts of evil. That's why Satan is called the father of murder. All the wars in the world are devil-inspired in order to kill people. During the millennium, Satan is cast down. He is unable to tempt men. Now, sure, the people that are on the earth, not the believers, because we now will have perfect bodies, we will not have sinful natures, but the people on the earth will still have bad feelings, will probably still get angry, but they will not have the devil. And someone says it's like having gunpowder, but the devil's not there to help you to light it. So you'll still be angry, but you won't have the devil suggesting to you, why don't you take out these people in your anger? That's why there'll be no wars. That's why all the guns and the weapons will be taken apart, because Satan isn't there to take it to the next level, okay? So what happens at the end of the millennium when it comes to Satan? What happens at the end of the 1,000 years? I know this is hard to believe. Satan is released. And when he is released, he convinces so many people to join him in going up against Jerusalem to try to take Jesus out. Can you believe that? And all these people, as many as the sands of the sea or whatever, join Satan for a final attempt to take over, and fire comes out from God. Just so you know, that fire that comes out, it's the end of the earth as we know it. That's why in chapter 21, if you look at the first verse in 21, you will read something like, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And that's when God just burns up the whole earth. I don't know if he tosses it aside or what he does, but that's the end. It's like God's, that's it. It's done. It's over. Satan is thrown into hell, and then everyone, the lost people, all will go right to judgment. And so Satan gets thrown into hell. That's the end of the earth. So what will the saints be doing during the millennium? So we're going to come back, and we are going to reign with Christ. In fact, if you look at verse in chapter 20 there, verse 6, blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be, what will we be? We're going to be priests of God and of Christ, and we will, what? And we're going to reign with him. Come back to Revelation chapter 5. Actually, come to Revelation 1 first. Come to Revelation chapter 1, then I'll do 5. Revelation chapter 1. In the middle of verse 5. Revelation chapter 1, in the middle of verse 5. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us, this is the believers, to be a what? Kingdom. We're royalty. Jesus is king, and we are all princes and princesses. We're royalty. He's made us to be a kingdom and what? And priest. We all have direct access to Jesus to serve his God and Father. Now come to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. These are believers singing up in heaven. Verse 9, and they sing a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a, what? We are a kingdom, we're royalty, and priest, we have access to God, to serve our God, and they will, what? What do? We reign on the earth. So, Christians, let me close with this. So, here's, you see the third, we're going to reign on the earth with him, that's our royalty part. We'll be over cities and towns. Some of us may be presidents of nations, princes, princesses of nations. And some of us will be like governors of states. Some of us will be mayors over towns during the millennium, because people can live so long. People will have tons of children. Some say it will be a population explosion like you've never seen. There'll be more people on the earth than ever been on the earth. And all of us believers will have different parts in the government of Jesus. And we'll be sharing our faith. So a lot of Christians have this idea that, oh, you only get to share your faith now. No, you should learn how to share your faith now, because you're going to be doing it during the millennium. You understand that during the millennium, let's say I'm the mayor of Mars, for sake of argument. Okay? So I'm the mayor of Mars. Is everyone that lives in the millennium, all the humans, the mortal humans, are all of them going to be saved? No. Because we know, though they may act like they are, we know at the end of the millennium, when Satan is released, the sinful nature jumps right back for people that truly don't know Jesus, and they join Satan against Jesus. It is hard to believe that with a perfect government, there are people that make government their God. They think if you have the perfect government with the perfect laws, and government is their religion. It's all they think about. It's all they vote for. They think if they get the right president, the right Congress, the right Supreme Court, and have the right laws, we will create utopia. Some have said that the millennium is to prove that even when you give people the perfect government, you give people the perfect government, Jesus, with the perfect laws, the laws that Jesus give. You have perfect health care. You get to live to be 700 years old. You have perfect tax relief. You get to live in your home and never get to lose it. You get job creation. All of you have a job that you are going to love to work at with no stress. So here's the perfect government, perfect health care, perfect tax code, perfect living in your home and no taxes and all this. And at the end, when people are given a chance to rebel against God and to be their own God, so many people just choose to do that. It's like the sand of the sea, the seashore, joining Satan against God. Hard to believe. But it just shows that you can have the perfect government and people are still sinful and still want to do their own thing. And why should that all surprise us? Because it's exactly the same thing even now. So, Luke 19, verse 11. While they were listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable because he was near Jerusalem. And the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear right then. The kingdom of God doesn't appear then. It will appear after the tribulation. He said, so he's going to explain to them. He said, a man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. That's Jesus. He came, he's king of the Jews, but he's away right now. But he is going to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. The servants, that's all of us. That's the believers. It's the people of the earth, however you want to look at it. The 10 minas is all our gifts, abilities, talents. He says, put this money to work, he said, until I come back. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. That's all the people during the tribulation under the Antichrist. However, as it says, he was made king. Okay, that's the second coming of Jesus. I know the whole earth battles against Jesus, but he is going to be king, okay? King of kings and Lord of lords. So let's see, verse 15. He was made king, however, and returned home to Jerusalem. Then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said, sir, your mina has earned 10 more. Well done, my good servant, his master replied. Because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities in the millennium. The second came and said, sir, your mina has earned 5 more. His master answered, you take charge of 5 cities. Then another servant came and said, sir, here's your mina. I kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I didn't serve you. I didn't use my gifts to share Jesus with other people and my talents to serve the church of Jesus Christ on the earth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow. His master replied, I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow. Why then didn't you put my money on deposit so that when I came back, I could have collected with interest? Then he said to those standing by, take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. Sir, they said, he already has 10. He replied, I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But as for the one who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away from him. Okay? So listen, I'm telling you Christians right now, how you live right now, your faithfulness, your serving the church and Jesus and your witness, you are actually determining your own responsibility in the millennium on what Jesus is going to trust you with. Right now is when you're making those decisions. For those that you are faithful with the little gifts and talents that God gives you, God's going to say, I've got some, you're mayor over 10 cities. You're the governor over that state. I'm going to put you over that country. You're determining in this lifetime Your future in the millennium. I've had people lately say, why do you keep preaching Revelation? Ah, we'll wait till we get there. I want to tell you that live for Jesus now and serve him, because it does affect your future. And I want you to have a nice future during the millennium. So let's have communion. Let's have the elders.